Would you turn with me tonight to Psalm 13? Psalm 13 is the psalm we'll be looking at. It's a psalm of lament. And the psalm is a psalm, when I say a psalm of lament, I mean it's an expression of grief. Sometimes these types of psalms are kind of skimmed over in our reading, and they're not read that often because they seem to be negative. But they are also important for us to learn from. A strong faith in God does not come all at once. And it is not without its times of doubt, but it is often gained through much prayer and a willing submission to God's love and His goodness in the midst of trial. Let's pray as we begin tonight. Father, we are grateful to have the Word of God and that it and the encouragement that it gives us on a daily basis. Lord, we are grateful for that as our great treasure that we have here while we're on this earth. Thank you for it. Thank you for the opportunity tonight to look at this psalm. I pray, Father, that we would learn from it and that it might be a joy to our hearts to know that you never do leave us nor forsake us, but that you are always there. And we ask you to bless our time now in Jesus' name. Amen. In February of 1862, President Abraham Lincoln endured one of the darkest times in his life when the circumstances of his life brought unbearable pain. His son Willie had died, and his son Tad was very seriously ill. A Christian nurse attending the sick child recalled that the president watched by the child's bedside and often paced, lamenting over and over again, "This is the hardest trial of my life. Why is it? Why is it?" And sooner or later, we all find ourselves in the midst of circumstances that bring unbearable pain and despair. And that's the consequences of life in this sinful, this sin-filled world. There are many circumstances that cause us to experience these dark times in our lives. Sometimes it's the death of a loved one, or maybe it's divorce in a family, maybe terminal illness, or financial crisis, serious family problems, sometimes divisions in families. And there are many other circumstances that can bring us to this place in our life. But in the midst of the pain, confusion, and the uncertainties, and when there's no answer to prayer of such times, we too sometimes cry out to God, lamenting over and over again, "Why is it? Why is it? Why did this have to happen to me? God, where are you? Don't you care about me?" So, as we turn to this psalm tonight, we see this is a psalm of David. And it could be entitled, "When Believers Feel Abandoned by God, They Should Pray Fervently." So I want to read the psalm. It's a short psalm. We'll just read it together here real quickly. He begins with, "How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, 'I have overcome him,' and my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. And I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." There's no information in the psalm or in the account of the life of David that would tell us that what event this psalm reflects in David's life. But we know from the scripture that David had many times when he was about, when he was like one step away from death. Could have been in those difficult years when Saul was pursuing to kill him. God had promised David the throne of Israel, and that day had not come. In fact, it seemed farther away for him. Saul was doing evil things, and God wasn't judging him. But David was doing good things, and he felt that God had abandoned him. David was certainly aware of what his enemies were doing, but he was more concerned of what God was doing. Think about this, as we'll see that David was in great distress, yet we see his awareness of God in all of his trouble. Psalm begins with a cry or a lament from David. His heart is troubled, and he says four times, "How long? How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? Am I out of the picture here? Do you no longer hear me? How long will you hide your face from me?" David feels like he's been abandoned from God. And apparently this has been going on for some time, and he comes to the place that he feels like God is not even listening to me anymore. So his heart is sorrowful and his thoughts are distressful. In verse 2, he says, "How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day?" So his thoughts of distress don't leave him. David has been wrestling with his thoughts on what should I do. I can't figure this out myself. I think as human beings, we get into situations and we always look for the light at the end of the tunnel somewhere. I can figure this out. I can do this on my own. But David is to the place here in whatever his particular situation is. He said, "I don't know which way to go anymore. I am really distressed in this thing." And he's been wrestling with these thoughts. And what should I do? I can't figure it out. He's to the point of even now being confused about God himself. Is God gone? Will this ever change? The pain that David is enduring here is not a physical pain, but it's an emotional and it's spiritual. It's like sleepless nights. And it never goes away. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to that place where something bothers you and it just never goes away? It's constantly on your heart, and it's really heavy on your heart. Well, that's where David was. You're filled with sadness that almost keeps you from doing anything. This was like 24/7 without letting up, and he was immobilized, like he was stuck. Like he couldn't think of anything else. He couldn't do anything else. Well, the fourth time he says, "How long?" David says, "How long will my enemy be exalted over me?" David reveals that his enemy was being exalted over him. The word "exalted" here means to raise to a position of power and dignity. And David's enemies were becoming superior to him. In 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 10, when Elijah told God that it would be better for him to die than to live, it was not only a big emotional letdown following this victory on Mount Carmel. And as we recall that and think about that, God had showed himself there. He sent fire from heaven. He not only burnt the sacrifice, but he burnt the stones. He licked up all the water in the hole. Everything was gone. The prophets of Baal had been killed. Rain poured down. But Elijah was an emotional mess, because there was also the presence of his enemies, Ahab and Jezebel. And this is why he said, "I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." And this is where David was at. Most of us don't likely have personal enemies that want to eliminate us. At least I hope we don't. And if we do, maybe it's a good thing we don't know who they are. But But we do have an enemy that walks around like a lion that wants to devour us, and that is Satan. Lloyd-Jones said this. He said this about Satan, that the devil is the adversary of our souls. He deals with us so that we allow our old self-nature to control and to govern us instead of keeping our focus on the Lord. The lesson here is that even when the enemy is exalted, that believers need to pray fervently. In verses 3 and 4, David begins to pray and petition God to answer his prayer. And he gives three reasons why his prayer should be answered to God. He says in verse 3, "Consider or look closely at my problem and then answer me, Lord." So first we see the urgency of the prayer, of his prayer. This request, you'll see it in your Bible, is directed to Yahweh. Yahweh, my God. You'll see the large letters there of the word Lord. So it's directed to Yahweh. His first prayer was that he wanted God to fix his eyes on him. He said, "Consider me. God, I need your special attention. You need to turn your face to me." It's almost like sometimes we do with little children. When we want to get their attention, we have to take their face and we have to say, "Now look in my eyes," so they understand that we're communicating to them and they can't be thinking about something else. And this is what David is saying. He says, "I want you to focus especially on me." And then secondly, answer me. Give me some kind of encouragement. David felt that he'd been deserted, and that his prayers were accomplishing nothing. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to that place where you feel like your prayers are not being answered, and you're just kind of out there all by yourself? And it may be for a number of different reasons. I remember one time that I had a particular situation like that, and it was because I'd had a migraine headache. I don't get those very often, but I had one that lasted for about 2 or 3 days, and God wasn't answering my prayer, and here I am, you know, and it's continuous. That mine were like this, they pound every heartbeat, just pound, 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 for 2 or 3 days, and so I don't know if you've ever been there, but I've experienced a little bit of that. I don't think I've experienced what David was at. When somebody's out to kill you and looking for you, I mean, you got to be doing this all the time. You certainly don't sleep much. But David felt that he had been deserted, and that his prayers weren't accomplishing anything. And then thirdly, he said, "Give light to my eyes." He wanted to be revived both spiritually and physically, to be strengthened by God. David was spiritually and physically worn down. And if God didn't do something, in verse 3, he says he was so depressed that he said that he would die. Charles Spurgeon, one of the great, everybody knows Spurgeon, the greatest, probably one of the greatest preachers of the 19th century. He suffered from Great Depression also. One of the things was that he was physically worn out. He had the disease of gout. And if you know what that is, that's a very painful thing too. And it just continued and continued and continued. And it put him even into a state of depression. But David also says, "Lord, if you don't do something, my enemies will say that they have overcome me, and they will rejoice when I am shaken." David was not only concerned about his own needs, he was even more concerned about God's glory. That God had chosen David to be an anointed king over Israel, and if that didn't happen, God's name would also be ridiculed. So looking at this list of causes of feeling abandoned by God, it's helpful because it shows us that these feelings are not unique to us. David had them, and many others that had them throughout the history of the church. But that's not all that we need to know. that when we get in these places of depression, we need to recover a sense of God's presence. We need to pray fervently. And we need to be those that don't give up. At the end of the psalm, David has begun to realize God's presence. In verses 5 and 6, he said, "But I have trusted in your loving kindness, and my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me." And here we see the dramatic change in David's thoughts. His prayers are changed to praises. David begins to remember and recognize his standing and his position in God. And David's faith in God's mercy filled his heart with the joy of his salvation. In spite of the apparent silence and the inactivity of God and his own inability to understand, David chose to trust in God. When President Lincoln was going through this dark time in his life, the Christian nurse that was attending his son, Tad, told him that she was a widow and that her husband and two of her children were in heaven. She told Lincoln that she saw the hand of God in all and never loved him so much as she did after her great trials. How is that brought about, Lincoln asked. "Simply by trusting in God," she replied. And Lincoln then replied, "I will go to God with my sorrows." And after a few days, she asked him if he could trust God. And he replied, "I think I can. I will try. I wish I had the childlike faith that you speak of. And I trust he will give it to me." Trust as we as Christians must all learn to do when we're going through these dark times, these dark trials in our lives, is we need to trust more. It seems like it's a place where sometimes when we go through dark trials that we even separate ourselves from God instead of drawing ourselves near to God. We become discouraged. "God, where are you? You know, why are you not answering my prayers?" For God's people, there's always some awareness of the truth, regardless of how deeply we are depressed, even if it's the place that we feel abandoned like David did. Because we are Christians, we have been taught by the Word of God, and we know that God loves us and that He is faithful regardless of our feelings. And here are some of the great promises that we have as believers. This is a very familiar passage. I just want to read it to us because it's just so assuring. It's assuring to me every time that I read it. And it's in Romans chapter 8. So if you want to turn your Bible there to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Romans 8:31. And Paul says then, he says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? And who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, 'For your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to the slaughter. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus.'" If when we suffer from depression or feel like we have been abandoned, we're not guaranteed as to when that will be gone, but we do know that it will be gone. Because God is faithful and He will never leave us nor forsake us. We have that promise. So, as we look at this, this is a short psalm, not taking a super lot of time with it, but it's just such a refreshing thing in the day that we live in, and the things that go on about us, that we can always focus on Christ, and we can always count on Him. We're never to separate us from Him when we get into these places, but that's the time that we need to draw close together, close to Him. Let's pray. Father, there are times that all of us go through, times in our lives that are dark times, loss of loved ones, terminal illness, financial problems, Lord, whatever they might be, family problems and issues that happen, times when we feel that there's no answer to our prayers, times when we just have no answers of our own, and times when You seem far away. Times when sorrow comes into our lives that are totally unexpected. Even like this situation with this heart attack that we just heard about. Lord, we pray for that person too. And help that person even in this time. Help us during those times to know that You will never leave us nor forsake us. And that nothing can separate us from Your love and concern for us. And that we can trust in Your loving kindness and rejoice as David did in Your great salvation. Father, thank You for our salvation. Thank You that You've called us to be Your children. And that no one can take this from us. And to know that these trials will be lifted from us as well. Teach us to pray fervently. Lord, we often struggle in our prayer life, teach us to commune with You more often, and then to teach us to trust You in the hardest and darkest of times of our lives. Teach us that all things are after the counsel of Your will, and that You have planned even these things even before the foundations of the world, and that Your will is perfect, and even the things that are the hardest are working together for good. We ask these things now in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Pray that You bless our time of prayer together tonight. Lord, help us to learn to pray fervently, even for one another, or when we experience these times, Lord, that we would draw together as a unit, as a church together. And help us to grow together, to have concerns for our brothers and sisters. Lord, help us to be a light here in this community, in Lakeville, that Your word would go forth, that the light of the gospel would shine, and that many would come to Christ. Lord, we pray it now in Your name. Amen.